We're doing Psalm 140 today. And David's in trouble. As you look at this, you'll find that the style of this psalm is just pretty much the same as most, not all, but most of his psalms. And that's presenting a complaint and then the prayer. And then by the time we're done with the psalm, he's confident in the Lord. I think that that's important for us to understand, that we bring those complaints to the Lord. Talk about this morning, you know, going to the, you know, boldly to the throne of grace where we could find help in time of need. And once we're there, you know, really, once we're there at the throne of grace, then we understand that Isaiah 26:3 thing of that he will keep you, him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. But we have a tendency to look at all the other things, all of the trouble, and we focus on it until it gets really big. And David kind of starts that way with the prayer here. And so with that said, let's pray. Father, we want to thank you once again for the love, for your goodness. You're working on our behalf, and that we can boldly come to the throne of grace even now and find help in time of need. Lord, I want to pray for those here tonight who are going through some difficult times, and that in their need, they would find you and find that you are the answer to their need. Lord, some people might be in situations where they're being treated unfairly, and I pray that, Lord, that you would speak to them through this psalm. Help us remember, Lord, that you were the one who was treated most unfairly. And you did it for us. So ask you to open our eyes, ask you to fill us with your spirit, and teach us now in Jesus' name. Amen. It comes right out. Deliver me, O Lord, from evil men. Preserve me from violent men who plan evil things in their hearts. They continually gather together for war. They sharpen their tongues like a serpent. The poison of asps is under their lips. Selah. Okay. We're going to see a lot of Selahs in here. It's a term we haven't seen for many, many chapters of the Psalms, and we're back to it. It's an unknown term, and it's guessed that it is a musical interlude given so that the reader or the singer or the listener would stop and reflect on what is being said, what is being sung. And so if you're reading the Psalms on your own and you're going through it, it might be a good idea to, every time you see the Selah, to just go ahead and stop and think about it. Think about what was just said. And so I think the thing to really think about is just the wickedness of man. And David is in a situation, once again, he was in those situations a lot. Now, in the Old King James Version, we find that in the Hebrew, that the Old King James is more correct here, as far as my understanding of reading a Strong's Concordance. But it says, deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man in the Old King James. There's one guy after him. And that's why many commentaries believe, and in the old commentaries, the rabbis that, from way back, they believe this to be talking about King Saul. And one commentator says this, though, says, evil man, it says, which of David's enemies is meant is not important. And certainly we can make this any enemy and it will apply. As some commentators say, well, no, you can't say it's Saul that he's talking about. And most commentators say it is indeed Saul. King Saul was Israel's first king. We read about him in 1 Samuel. And King Saul was a lousy king, and he got worse and worse as he went along until finally the kingdom was taken from him and given to David, who was not yet a king but a child. And Saul was full of envy, and he sought to kill David because, really, Saul would you know, Saul didn't want his son, Jonathan, to lose out on the throne. And Saul wanted his name going through, you know, but God cut him off. And so Saul was out to cut David off. And so you can definitely apply this to David. And again, in older, older, you have the Targum, which is, you know, rabbis, like a commentary of the Old Testament. And you have the different translations. The Chaldee version has this as King Saul going against King David. And so that's kind of the angle we're going to take it at. So deliver me, O Lord, from evil men. Yeah, preserve me from violent men who plan evil things in their hearts. Which, by the way, it does finally go to the plural. And there were those who were on Saul's side, if that's what it means, who are out to harm David. In this business here with the, they sharpen their tongues like a serpent, the poison of asps is under their lips. The meaning here is, you know, that the words that are spoken by these people that are after them, they were like poison. They were just words of poison. And so that's just a poetic way to say everything out of their mouths is meant to destroy. And so King David is dealing with not only people who want to kill him, and let's say it's Saul. Remember, Saul threw spears at David while David played music, and then he chased him down and hunted him. And I know every time David got alone, what was he praying? He was praying, oh God, save me. Save me from this guy. And then there were those who slandered David, and that would be here, that poison. Interesting thing about verse 3, this passage is quoted in Romans chapter 3, verse 13, as a proof of human depravity. And what it is saying in Romans, what Paul is saying in Romans chapter 3, is that verse 3 here, really, it's not just bad people. It's pretty much all people. And that you and I, if you read James chapter 3 about how wicked the tongue is, you and I have spoken blessings from our mouths and we've spoken cursings. We've killed people, we've murdered people with our mouths. And so while, you know, David is here saying, oh God, help me, you know, preserve me from these slanderers, be aware that there's a slanderer who lives inside of you as we would speak evil of our brothers and sisters. And but in it, you know, the proof of our depravity. And so hopefully, just as Isaiah got his mouth touched by that coal from the altar, you and I would get our mouths touched by the coal from the altar, and that we would learn not to speak evil of one another. And so David cries out to the Lord for fear of his life. I have got to tell you that only once, yeah, it's when I read the scriptures, I try so desperately to relate. And I can't relate to a man chasing me down with a spear. I cannot relate to being hunted like an animal. Literally hunted like an animal. And it's a really, it is so hard to just grasp this. It's just a different planet for me. And probably for most of us or all of us. I have only pleaded for my life one time. And where I prayed, said, oh God, don't kill me now. Or don't let these guys kill me now. This is when, you know, Coyne and I were in Peru and the bullets were flying overhead. That's the only time I ever prayed a prayer almost like this. Like, help. So that's the only thing I've got. But praise God, you know, we haven't had people, you know, storming the doors and taking us out. Verse 4, Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from violent men who have purposed to make my steps stumble. The proud have hidden a snare for me and cords. They have spread a net by the wayside. They have set traps for me. Selah. Now, here the complaint of the wicked is, obviously they're setting traps for him, but this can also be said for you and me as, those who would set out traps to make you and me stumble, say, in our walk. And we do have that problem. There will be those who hate Christians so much that all they want to do is see you fail. And they might even try to set you up for that. But give it to the Lord. Pray to the Lord. This business about the make my steps stumble. One commentator says, to defeat my plans, to destroy me, they endeavor to prevent my accomplishing what I had designed to do. You know, even from that commentary, it makes me go back to Saul, and that all he wanted was not God's plan for David's life. And he was going to do anything he could to trip up David and to cause him, well, to kill him, to trap him, to do whatever. But we do have an enemy, by the way, who likes to try to set traps for us, and it is the devil himself, or should I say his little narrow-minded cronies, who the demons. But yeah, we live in a spiritual battle, and those things can definitely be there. But you and I know what to do with this, and that is simply what David's doing. You pray about it. You pray to the Lord, and you know that he is in control. You put on the whole armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6. You consider the belt of truth, the shield of faith, and the breastplate of righteousness. You consider these things in your life. And the enemy's got no power over you or me. But sometimes it feels like he does, but he doesn't. So, I said to the Lord, and here it is. Here's the perfect response for all of this. I said to the Lord, you are my God. Hear the voice of my supplications, O Lord. O God, O Lord, excuse me, O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation. You have covered my head in the day of battle. Do not grant, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Do not further his wicked scheme, lest they be exalted. Selah. David is approaching God on terms that cannot be mistaken or even in his own head. It can't be mistaken who's he talking to, because you are my God. The word God there is the Hebrew word El, which means God. Hear the voice of my supplication, O Lord, Jehovah. So we've got his name there. And then the next word, O God, is the Hebrew word Jehovah, which I was like, what? I was curious, because in your Bible, maybe as it is in mine, God is spelled G-O-D, all caps. I don't know if any of you got that. It's all caps. And in our translators put it in all caps when it is the covenant name of God, which would be where you see L-O-R-D, all in capital letters, right? That's Lord, and just translated Jehovah. Well, here, God is G-O-D, all in caps, Jehovah. The Jews would call out to God over and over, but not want to use repetition, and Jehovah is really, it's the same as Jehovah. And so they would, Jehovah, 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 Jehovah. And, David is approaching God on every name he can come up with, because then the next word, Lord, notice that's not in caps, L-O-R-D. Now, again, I'm playing with my New King James Version. Maybe it's in your King James Version too. But that word is Adonai in the Hebrew. So, L Jehovah, Jehovah, Adonai. Hey, I'm going to tell you every name I know about you because I need to get your attention. And I know you need to get my attention. And speaking of getting my attention, you know, here's David in a place, whether it's being running from Saul or running from the Philistines, but it's a trial that has narrowed everything down to one answer, and that is God Almighty. I mean, think about that. Think about the worst trials in your life. The Lord has blessed you with you not having to guess the answer. The answer is God. The answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes you and I might have a problem, and we can think of a couple few solutions, and so, you know, we're working it, and then we're asking God, hey God, can you work this out, because this is my solution, and I know that you can make my solution happen here. But when you're stuck in a situation where you're hiding in caves and you don't know the next day is going to even exist because this guy hates you, he's slandering you, and he's going to not stop at anything to kill you, all you got left is, oh God, save me. I'm not going to even suggest how. I'm not even going to try. I just need you to cover me. As it reads in verse 7, you've covered me in the day of battle. You've covered me before. So don't grant their desires. If he's talking about Saul, Saul's desires are being lifted up to the Lord as well. Lord, I know that David, you know, he's an arrogant little boy that should not be king. Help me find him so I can kill him. I would encourage you to, I don't even know what speech that was. I went to Washington, D.C. and was ashamed of myself because I actually got an education. And at the Lincoln Memorial, they have the Gettysburg Address on one wall over here, and on the other wall, they have, I don't know which speech it was, it's somewhere in the middle of the Civil War, of course, because he was rebuking the United States for the way they think and how brother fights against brother, and yet both the North and the South are praying to the same God to kill each other. And it reminded me of Judges, the final couple chapters of Judges, when they had, they were upset with Benjamin, the tribe of Benjamin, and they began to go to war against Benjamin, their brother. And the Israelites prayed to God and said, "What? Which of us shall go fight against our brother first?" And God says, Judah. Like, oh, well, then God's in it. Well, Judah ends up losing that battle. God wasn't in it. God's saying, you know what? You guys isn't going to do what you're going to do. And go ahead. And he lets us destroy ourselves. He lets us destroy one another. And all the while we're destroying one another, we're praying for victory for myself. And that guy's praying for victory for himself. I could see King Saul and David praying to the same God for two totally different things. That's when we've got to start thinking for a second what prayer is for. Prayer isn't for you and me to get what we want. Prayer is for God to get what he wants out of us. And that we would go to him to pray in order to understand his will. And so verse 8, to me, appears that the wicked are also petitioning the Lord. And David's saying, don't listen to them. Whatever you do, Lord, don't listen to that guy. If we should ever pray such prayers as David is praying, don't listen to that guy. We better be walking with the Lord. We better know that we are right with God. In His Word, walking accordingly. Because I think so many times we'll get so welled up with ourselves and our own ideas of what's right or what's good for me. And it's so intense that you think it's God. By the way, the Chaldee translation understands this verse 8 to be that of Doeg. The desires of the wicked do not further his wicked scheme, lest they be exalted. Doeg was the Edomite who was there in 1 Samuel chapter 21 when David was running for his life and he met up with the priest and he got some bread and he says, well, don't let anybody know I'm here. And then Doeg says, oh yeah. And so Doeg goes and tattles on him. Saul goes and visits the priests and kills them all. He doesn't kill them all. He tells Doeg to kill them all. And Doeg says, okay. And he slaughtered the priests. What was it, 75 priests? Or 80? I can't remember how many priests. A lot of them. All right, let's go to verse 9. As for the head of those who surround me, let the evil of their lips cover them. Let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into the fire, into deep pits, that they rise not up again. Let not a slanderer be established in the earth. Let evil hunt the violent man to overthrow him. Definitely an old covenant prayer. Remember, pray for your enemies, right? This is not the prayer to pray. All right, this is the old covenant prayer. Let their lips, you know, the evil of their lips cover them. In other words, let everything they say and every wicked thing they want from me, let it happen to them. The burning coals, as one commentator suggests, it's alluding to the burning of Sodom and Gomorrah with fire from thence, and may design both the terrible judgments of God in this life and everlasting burnings in hell. And so, as another rabbi interprets it, of the coals of hell. So David just, you know, wants them to get what they deserve. By the way, burning coals, you know, reading, what is it, Romans chapter 12, you know, bless those who curse you, you'll put burning coals on their head by doing that. And that's kind of a weird thing to try to understand, and maybe you have heard traditional things about that, in the wintertime your neighbor would bring you coals for your fire if you don't have them, and so it was a nice thing to do. I don't think it means that at all. I don't think it means you're going to send them to hell if you're nice to them, though. But I believe that the burning coals is that burning coals of of conviction. And that when you are a sweetheart to those who are so mean to you, that they burn with conviction. And that's what the burning coals are there. But here, David's talking about hell. Oh God, please burn these people forever. That's where David's going with this. And let's be real. You and I have felt this way, haven't we? There have been some people in this world that maybe you just read in the news that, somebody had done some horrible thing and all you're thinking is, well, you know, good, he's going to get his, you know. But the Lord wants to save even that man. The Lord always extends mercy. All right, verse 12. I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and justice for the poor. Surely the righteous shall give thanks to your name. The upright shall dwell in your presence. I think the most wonderful part of these two verses is are the first two words. I know. I know. This is not a matter of, I certainly hope that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted. I hope that the righteous shall give thanks to your name. I hope the upright shall dwell in your presence. I think the Lord will maintain the cause. And yet, sometimes we walk about like we don't know, but we just think and hope. But the fact is, when the Lord sees his afflicted, those who have been oppressed, the Lord will watch out for them as the Lord watched out for David. And David would ultimately make it to the throne. The upright shall dwell in your presence. And so, through all of this, asking protection, I have to bring up the fact that many of us have prayed to the Lord for protection and then it didn't come and bad, horrible things happened. I think that the last part of verse 13 might help us there. The upright shall dwell in your presence. Remember what Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, verse 16 through 18 about the last days. He says, you'll be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head shall be lost. And so you pray for protection, and should anybody kill your body, then you're going to dwell in the presence of the Lord and find that they could not harm you at all. No harm was done, because who you are inside is who you are. That's the part of you and me that goes on forever. And there we will be with God Almighty, with the Lord Jesus Christ in his presence, regardless of all of this stuff around us. Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you for your protection in our lives. We thank you that you have a plan in it, and that you even had a plan as Saul was chasing David around, that you would strengthen David and there would be more of you and less of David all the time. And may that be the case with each of us in our trials. May we desire you above all else. And may we call to you with all our heart. May we understand that you are always and have always been the only answer. Thank you, Lord, for having your hand on us, and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.